I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills news with a UK twist. I've got Robin.
Good evening. Got
myself, Matt. And boys, sit down at the table. We're going for a run. As a nice deep task of promo went.
That's a nice way of putting it. Yeah. Or we staggered. We got in.
Yeah.
We got in.
I think you're fine. I fairly confidently told everybody 5 weeks ago that we weren't, that Sean McDermott was the man who was never going to lead us anywhere. And that we were definitely not going to make the playoffs, and that it was time to fire everyone. And here we are.
Yeah. I guess that's why he's over there.
Yeah, very much.
So. They're over here doing whatever we do.
And join your conservatory, freezing cold, talking random shit.
Yeah, exactly. Because you've got to hand it to him. Since that Eagles game, where our defense kind of like bent over and let them back into it. Since then, defensively, we've been superb.
And I think when it counts as well, second half defenses, fourth quarter defenses, final drive defenses.
Yeah, getting that you've got to have it plays. We've been doing it all of a sudden. Yep. You know, the game against the Dolphins, we give them the ball back with a couple of minutes to go. 2 months ago, they're 100% scoring a touchdown on that drive because we were just playing, going into prevent, going into soft coverage and allowing teams to, like, you know, you think back to the Patriots game, allowing teams to get scores late on against us. We didn't do that. We're attacking the quarterback. We're getting after players. We're attacking them, and it's made a massive difference.
In a way, you could probably even say that the article that came out, you've got to say that since that article came out as well, that's where it's actually increased and the gameplay's actually gone.
They do have a funny, those sorts of things can often have like quite a galvanizing effect. I don't know whether there was a motive behind the posting of that article, whether they thought they were going to unseat McDermott and that was going to be his downfall, and they picked the wrong time. But boy, did they not read the room? Did they miscalculate just how much affection Sean McDermott has in that locker room and around the organization? Because yes, as Mark says, you look how well that defense has played. What was it? 17 points to the Chiefs, 20 to the Patriots, and then holding the Dolphins at home for as beat up as they've been and for players that they were missing, to hold the Dolphins to 14 points.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did they even score in the second half?
No. They didn't have a drive more than four plays in the second half.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because they had three and out, and a four and out, didn't they? Something like that.
Yeah, three punts and an interception. I think you're right. If the Bills end up going on and winning the Super Bowl this year, then Tyler Dunn will get a ring.
Yes,
because he has 100% galvanized that roster to be able to take them to a place where they certainly weren't going.
Yeah, he's never going to need to buy himself a drink if he walks into a bar, is he? In Western New York, is he? You put your money away, mate.
I just had it
written down as well. Yeah, they ran 17 plays. Pit 27 dog. I am legend. Thank you. Yeah, 17 plays in the second half the Dolphins ran. Dolphins offense.
With the kind of thing is that on the Sunday, I was out on a job, so I thought I'd be done by midnight. So I come back in, and I kind of missed that whole first half because I was out 5:30. I didn't get back until what about 3 a.m. just before the second half started.
Okay.
So I kind of feel that I'm.
You missed the fun.
I at the right time. So I came on and it all turned around. That's how I look at it.
One horrendous turnover, a forgivable turnover on fourth and two. And I would say, actually, the throw to Ty Johnson, everyone was cursing Allen for throwing it in. But I thought that was a hell of a play on the goal line to stop it. I thought that was going in for a touchdown all the way. But yeah, disappointing. At least 14 points they'd left on the field there. And of course, the James Cook drop as well.
Yeah. I think it's easy to say and all that, but obviously you look at the targets, you look at how this offense actually worked in that second half. I only caught the highlights the next day of the first quarter, so obviously you didn't gave me the full picture. But the second half, it looked like he started to play a bit more, actually get a tiny bit more creative. There was still the simple crap plays that got us bugger all and all that, but there was the thing that was
interesting was the fact that it was different, this offensive struggle, than that we've had in a couple of games recently, like against the Chargers, against the Patriots, where we looked like we were struggling to move the ball at all. We could move the ball perfectly freely against the Dolphins. That wasn't a problem at all. We were moving the ball up and down the field in the first half, no problem. Our issue was that we were getting to a point where we were looking like we were going to get points out of it. And then it was a few stupid or bad or unlucky plays that meant we were coming off the field with nothing. This should have been a 48-14 game. We were that much better than the Dolphins, even in the first half, when we were going in at halftime, we were a touchdown down. The first interception, as Robin said, first interception was awful. But I think it's probably as much on the pass rush and the wide receiver as it is on Josh. Second interception, I'm not worried about because it was effectively a punt on fourth down. I'm not too fussed about that at all.
Threw it up.
Yeah, just chuck it up and see.
Dave's had neither trips over his own feet. He might have had a shot of catching it as well. He might have at least knocked it out of the hand and it wouldn't have been an interception.
Yeah, exactly right. But it was the Stephon Diggs overthrow. It was the James Cook drop. It was the fumbling the ball when inside the red zone. It was the Ty Johnson one at the end of the first half where Sean McDermott then has a pop at Josh Allen in the interview immediately, like when they're going into the locker room, which kind of, I think, caught a lot of people a bit off guard, because you really, like, coaches rarely say anything in those interviews at all. But I think Sean got caught up in the moment a little bit there. But it was that was the problem. It wasn't the way that, you know, the offense was operating, because everything was fine. It was just that we couldn't convert like four or five huge miscues that meant that we were at halftime only 7 points on the board, whereas it could have easily been 21.
Mm.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to look at. I mean, obviously, the way that the passes have been shuffled around. I mean, obviously, receiving wise, obviously Shakir again, I think has actually taken it. Obviously, Diggs had his best game for a good 6 weeks now.
Yeah.
And then obviously a shout out to Dalton Kincaid, to at the beginning of the season, I said had a chance of actually breaking the rookie record for receiving yards by a Bills tight end. He smashed it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And obviously,
the second half of the season, he's really come on. I think he started off slow-ish.
Mm.
But there's been a couple of games where he's looked seriously impressive, and is a good safety blanket. I'd like to see him used more in the red zone than he is, because I think he could be a real weapon down there. But he's become a proper target for Josh, and he's got his confidence, he's got his trust, and that's a relationship that's only going to develop and bear more fruit as it goes into the second and third year.
Yeah,
you got six receivers in that game that had two or more receptions. You got Shakir, you got Diggs, you got Kincaid. Sherfield suddenly popped up from out of nowhere. Oh, Dawson picked up too.
Tell me when we can talk about that play.
Can we do it? We'll just. I mean, my only point was actually it really looks like the passing game got fixed. The turnovers always take the shine off there, but yeah. Actually the passing game actually looked really, particularly in the second half, when it looked like they really had like the bit between their teeth and they were driving downfield. And when you think you've potentially got Shakir, Diggs, Kincaid, possibly a Sherfield, dare I say, a Dawson Knox and a James Cook to throw to, that's six receivers and you can still run the ball. If Josh has finally got it figured out in the passing game, they could be awfully dangerous now because it's very difficult to if you're spraying the ball around that successfully. Yeah. Then they're well in. But anyway, Trent Sherfield and the perfect pirouette of a catch. Oh, just chef's kiss.
Well, yeah. I saw it on the thing. I thought, what the hell? How did he catch it like that? Obviously, it's a toe drag swag. And I saw the deflection and I'm thinking, oh God, here we go. And
because I think everyone's thinking, this is going to be another interception.
Yeah. And then you just go, then all of a sudden you see the catch and you see the Miami players going, no, it's not a catch. It's not a catch. He's out of bounds. He juggled it or whatever. And then all of a sudden you look at the other angle and you're going, fuck you, Dolphins.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
You're going to show that at like wide receiver training camp, aren't you? That's how you toe drag swag. That's how you catch it. You go all the way down to the ground. Didn't even move. It was locked away in a safe between his hands. It's the most perfect demonstration. And the fact that it was almost Trent Sherfield, I mean, how difficult that must be to kind of come off the bench, and he's had drops and he's not been terribly good this year, but to be able to come out at the biggest moment and be able to pull that out, it's just fantastic. And almost a theme of the game, secondary players sort of stepping up and making plays.
It's all up the off-season signings, wasn't it?
Jackson again, just again takes over from Russell Douglas and has two absolutely crucial pass breakups. And yes, gets flagged for the one against Tyreek Hill. I think that's a professional foul. I think he saved a touchdown. But you remember, like Viv Anderson, you're probably much too young to remember, but Viv Anderson wrote in his autobiography, that's where the phrase comes from, so professional foul, because I used to go to games in the 80s, and that literally happened, you cleared one goal, and they just tap your thing, and you got a free kick. And Viv Anderson, that's what we used to do.
I remember the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer tackle against Newcastle many, many moons ago, where he took someone out, got sent off, and got applauded off the pitch.
Yeah. It just sort of happened, and I think he did that. And I think if Tyreek Hill catches that pass, I think that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
What about the Alfinger Haaland one?
But you know, player stepping up. Bailyn Spector comes on for a couple of nice plays himself. So,
well, on the
bench, just guys absolutely playing for the team. I think that bodes really well, and we'll probably talk about injuries in a minute. But I feel a lot better about the general spirit of the team as we head into the playoffs.
Well, it's the fact that, as I say, it's you look at it and it shows the camaraderie. That's the word I was actually thinking of. The fact that when Douglas went out, someone say that Dane Jackson went over to him and said, "Look, I've got you, dude. If you're not feeling, if you're not feeling 100%, don't do it." And yeah, he got beaten up on a couple of occasions. But Jackson did come in and had a solid game as relief for him.
Yeah,
I think he was involved in a couple of decent breakups. So the depth is there.
Pretty good tackles as well.
And talking of depth players, how about, like, you know, we were a touchdown down, let's not forget, going into the fourth quarter. And we need something to kick the offense into gear. How about the longest punt return in franchise history from someone who really, like, flattered to deceive and hasn't really justified the money that we gave him this offseason. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere,
yeah,
Deontay Harty, hello, yeah. sir, 96 yards. That yeah. was the play. I mean, that was the crucial play of the whole game because yeah. that was the thing that sparked the offense into life. That was the thing that felt like it. It really crushed the spirit of the Dolphins. And that gave the momentum back to Buffalo at a time that they absolutely really needed to have it. And then the Dolphins could do nothing about it after that. And then, yeah, we then drove down the field straight away afterwards, got the touchdown to Dawson Knox, but it was really that punt return that was the thing that kicked it off and sparked, like, took the victory to in it, or took the direction of the game in the way that we needed it to go.
Yeah, I mean, momentum is a real thing. You know, plays, things like that, plays, stops, turnovers, they change games. And that run, when you probably wouldn't have thought any less of him, and people were saying, if you fair catch that and not run it back, you think, well, don't do it.
Or just let it bounce over your head when it's on the floor.
Yeah, yeah, or just leave it or whatever.
Leave it, totally. Let it go out of bounds. Yeah. Let it go run out, yeah. out the back of the end zone. Yeah, absolutely.
Once he'd broken it, once he'd got that 20 yards, it was he was absolutely gone.
I'm getting ahead of myself, but you always look back at defining moments of seasons. And you can just see it in when they're doing like the show at the end of the year where they're
America's Game
where they're
Alec
talking
Ball, Alec Baldwin voice like there were 14-7 down.
Yeah,
the Bills in Miami,
and they show that one from all the different angles and
he gets the ball and he starts running down the field and we're all on the sideline like going, what the hell's happening? And he beats three and he's gone.
Yeah.
But that was just it for us.
And you wonder because it was that was quite a moment and we needed it.
Yeah.
And yeah, and again, it's a peripheral player. It's someone who's not, I think, was brought in predominantly as someone who was going to, you know, like extend the field from the wide receiver core. He hasn't really set the world, he's not set the world alight at all, in terms of the receiving game. But I mean, he justified his salary with that play by itself.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah. The other name, the third name of this of the three off season ones, obviously Taylor Rapp.
Yeah.
With the game winning interception, had a big play before that as well.
Yeah.
And all that, and yeah, I think he had his struggles during the season, but he's come on leaps and bounds in the last few games. And actually, he's become a really solid piece. And we saw this defense go more into the three safety look.
Yeah,
yeah.
Which actually confused the hell out of Tua and obviously most offenses. But it's good to have that option. I mean, you've got that backup there.
I think it's a bit of a pattern, isn't it, for against Miami that if you you take away the middle of the field, which the third safety does, and you manage to slow down some of the screens that they love to have, they don't seem to have a huge amount of answers, the Dolphins. So,
and also it negates Hill as well, because you've got that third safety operating the middle. So whichever side Hill will work on, you're going to have a cornerback and potentially a safety on him.
Yep.
So you're in essence back double teaming him, but not so much giving it away that you're double teaming him.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bloody marvellous. But it was kind of a microcosm, this whole game, for both team seasons, I think. For us, it was the it was the full Josh Allen experience. It was all the yards, all the throws. He still makes two or three plays that no other human on the planet can make. He'll have some absolutely ridiculous interceptions. But I kind of feel like this season you're just going to have to accept it. You're not going to get one without the other. That's just who Josh Allen is this year. And you know, if you want the good, you've got to put up with the bad and learn to live with it. Defense absolutely balling out. It looked amazing. And the Dolphins starting really well, but then offensively struggling against a good team. It was kind of it was everything we've seen before this season, and more. And brilliant that it meant that we've ended up somehow with the two seed. And yeah. And they've struggled. I loved a stat that I heard that since the NFL began seedings in 1975, the Bills this year are the only team to be at 500 or less with five or fewer games remaining and still make the two seed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll be the first to say it, that we were a bit dismissive. Let's put it that.
I think everybody was. I don't care who you are. At 6-6.
Yeah.
With the schedule that we had coming up, outside of maybe, you know, like Josh Allen himself, I don't think there was many people who thought that we were ever going to make the two. Like, we were going to win the AFC. So I don't think
beat the Chiefs on the road, beat the Cowboys, beat the Chargers on a short week, beat the Patriots and win in Miami, who, let's not forget, were three games ahead at that point as well. So they were, you know, quite conceivably. I mean, if they beat Baltimore, they'd have been on for the number one seed.
Yeah. God love you, Tennessee Titans. Let's just throw that out there. Because for two, they obviously beat Jacksonville earlier on in the day, which made the evening a much more comfortable viewing experience. Because had we got into the game and it was win or go home, that would have been horrific. So well done to the Tennessee Titans for making that we didn't have to sit through that. But also,
right to the last.
Yeah, but also it was the Titans' victory against the Dolphins back in week, was it 15? Something like that.
15, yeah. It was before 15. The Cowboys. Yeah, because they lost to them and then beat the Cowboys and then it was the Ravens.
Whatever week it was. But the week that they beat the Dolphins was really the game that gave there some legs to the possibility. It was week 14, actually. 28-27. And it was really that meant that this had a possibility because of the run that they had left with the Cowboys, the Ravens, and us as their final three games. You kind of felt that it was unlikely they were going to lose all three of those, but if they lost two and they lost another game somewhere else in their schedule, then the Bills still had a chance. But without the Titans, we're not the two seed. So what a Mike Vrabel. And
cheers, Mike.
Cheers, mate.
Sorry you got fired.
You did your job for us. Thank you,
sir. Yeah, appreciate it.
But, I mean, you just look at this defense. I mean, the two high-scoring offenses in football this year, obviously the Cowboys and the Dolphins. This defense, without Matt Milano, without Trey White, with Rasul Douglas, especially for the Miami one, the second Miami game, injured, without a couple of key players, without Von Miller being going missing and all that, held those opponents to 10.
Who's Von Miller? Sorry, it's not a name I remember.
He hasn't been called that much. They held them to 10 and 14 points in the stretch, and they've held in this 5-game winning streak their opponents to under 16 points per game.
Yeah.
Defensively, we've been saying it for weeks, they've been outstanding. And to a point now whereby I look at the scheme and I look at the players and I'm like, I'm quite excited by what's coming. Like, I look at it and I think, Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, brilliant. Leonard Floyd and Greg Rousseau, brilliant. I look at the linebackers and I think, yeah, Terrell Bernard, he's going to be brilliant. Dodson's going to be brilliant. They're all just, there isn't a weakness at the moment on that defense as far as I'm concerned. And like I said, we've lost two of our most influential players are still out. It's unreal, the turnaround.
Yeah, I think you just look at the way it's actually gone. And I mean, it also is testament to the scouting ability, especially on defense, of Brandon Bean. So you got Terrell Bernard, third round, who sat behind Edmonds.
Good draft the last couple of years, hasn't it? I mean, Kyle Reed on the spot.
Obviously, Christian Benford the year before in the sixth round, 24 games played, 78 total tackles, two forced fumbles, one fumble recovery, 15 passes defended, three interceptions for a guy who played at Villanova, who if people don't know college football that well, are an FCS, so they're the one below the FBS. So it's a second division school. He's come out and he's become, in essence, the Bills, at the moment, de facto number two.
Yeah.
Back.
Well, and he's actually been the one who's been the consistent one. He's the one who's been there every time.
Yeah.
Well, he's been coping with someone else, dealing with coming in as being CB1. He's the one who's often, you know, getting a lot of the looks because the quarterbacks aren't throwing towards Trey White and aren't throwing towards Razzle Douglas. So he's been recently, and I thought he was brilliant in this game.
Everything
I saw him do just looked composed, looked exciting, looked like he knew he's really found himself in this role. And I think that's the reason why Trey White won't play another snap for Buffalo. Because I think if it's going to be a Douglas Benford cornerbacks going forward.
Yeah. And I mean, Douglas in his last nine games as a Bill is 51.4% completion percentage allowed, 232 yards allowed, one touchdown allowed, four interceptions, obviously one pick six, and a 40.4 passer rating allowed.
It's ridiculous.
Decent. For a mid-season Halloween trade deadline pickup, it's phenomenal, isn't it?
I mean, I'd still look in the draft at a cornerback. Because obviously Dane Jackson is
safe. I think I'd go safety before I went cornerback.
But yeah, safety. I would still look at for a cornerback, but safety is your priority there, because I think I mentioned it on a tweet when someone tweeted out that I don't see Hyde being a starter anymore. I think if they do keep him, they keep him on a vet backup and have him backed up and get a rookie safety come in and have him wrap maybe Hamlin as the backups. So I don't think Hyde, I love the guy, I don't think he's going to,
but it was probably his last season in a sort of starting role. I think you've probably got enough time, same for the center position as well, same for the wide receiver. You've probably got enough experience around them that you could get a quote-unquote project safety in a project center, because even if Mitch Morse does go, you've still got Ryan Bates, you've still got Poyer hopefully for another year, maybe he goes after that, but then if you've still got Rapp and you've still got Hamlin and you can bring another safety player into that, you can kind of manage the exit a little bit. If Hyde goes this year and Poyer goes at the end of 24, then you've still got enough players that you can bring on. If Gabe Davis doesn't come back at the end of this year, and I think he could get a lot more money somewhere else. And I think he's a bit of a Tremaine Edmonds sort of thing. I think he'd be very attractive to another team, but I don't think the Bills will want to pay him the money that
we'll get a third round compensation.
We could get now might be the time, and obviously Diggs isn't going to live forever. You could get another wide receiver, a project center, and a project safety in the first three rounds if you played your cards right.
Yeah.
I don't think the window is closing yet. I think with a good couple of drafts, I think you can slowly turn the roster over.
Anyway,
that's for the end of the season. We've still got games to play. Anyone?
Look, four more as Stefan Diggs said to Josh Allen.
Four more wins. And you can only win one at a time.
Indeed. I think before we move on
two there, home wins and you win the championship game.
Yeah.
That's two home wins. And I fancy our chances against whoever we play.
Yeah. At home. One thing you just got to have a shout out for is Josh Allen himself. Obviously, everyone saw the all pro selection thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's
like the pro, it's done by professionals. I mean, I kind of get Lamar in there, but
and cheats and liars, a lot of them, and fucking Nick.
But he was in the fourth quarter alone this season, his PFF grade was 90.4. He's obviously the league leader in total yards, total touchdowns, scored 86% of the Bills' touchdowns. Best record versus all the playoff teams of 5-1. Least sacked quarterback. And again, that goes on to this offensive line as well. Okay, the Christian Wilkins did have a strip sack fumble recovery against Torrance, but this offensive line really held up and actually kept Josh as healthy as he can be, other than when he actually scrambles and then decides to not slide.
Yeah.
But again, did anyone notice Ryan Vandermark come in at left tackle for
and did really well?
You didn't really worry, did you? Drive downfield, crucial game winning drive.
Yeah, did really well.
And say Deion Dawkins on 647 pass blocking snaps this season, one sack allowed, 7 quarterback hits allowed. So you've got to give credit to this offense and offensive line. I mean, it's records after records. Diggs has now got 4 straight 100 receptions for the team, and that's the top 4. Eric Moulds is 5th with 100. Right. You've got domination all the time. I mean, you've got Dalton Kincaid, as I say, he got the rookie record for tight end yards. He got the rookie tight end reception mark from Pete Metzala. He's obviously beaten Sammy Watkins all rookie records. You're seeing on here that you've got an offense where give it a bit more time, give it a few more pieces and promote Joe Brady, take away that interim from Joe Brady. This offseason, you could actually see or even during the playoffs, you can actually see that we're becoming an offense that, yes, we have our moments, but we're an offense that you don't want to face, because it looking like at the moment we'll beat you in different ways. We'll go through Diggs, we'll go through Shakir, we'll go through Kincaid, we'll go through Cook, we'll go through Allen.
We'll run out.
You've got so many people to defend.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. And that's not taking and none of that, as anybody mentioned, our wide receiver 2.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, like there's every chance that he, like, I think we'll probably get onto injuries in a sec, but there's every chance that he might miss this game. But the Gabe Davis, Randy Moss game in the playoffs has got to be there somewhere. He will have his 150 yards, 10 receptions, 2 touchdown game. I'd love it to be in the Super Bowl. That'll do.
Yeah. Championship game will be fine in Baltimore. I'll settle for that.
That game will come at some stage. Yeah. One of these 4 games, Gabe Davis will do his best Megatron impression, and I still think, like, for me, first round of the draft, we go and get a wide receiver if we can. That needs to be priority, and then see what happens with him. But if we can get one more absolutely like big game out of him, then that would be good.
Yeah. Yeah. And it'd be good for him as well, because then he'll get a truckload of cash from some other team as well. Because you do that on the championship game, people will just give you 20 million.
Yeah.
They just will. So
good for him.
Yeah. Good luck to him. James Tremaine. Happy for him.
Yep.
Before we preview Super Wild Card weekend.
I hope he's enjoying life in Chicago.
Yeah, before, they just can't get out of their own way, can they?
Yeah.
Before we actually get to preview Super Wild Card weekend, one last stat. This revolves the offensive line. Now, Dawkins, McGovern, Morse, Torrance, and Brown started all 17 regular season games for the Bills this year. That was the first time this has happened since when? I mean, give you the decade.
For the Bills or for any
other? For the Bills. I can give you the decade to make it easier.
Okay.
The '80s.
Wow, that's even before my time. So yeah, 1989, 1990 was the first. The draft did Kelly in about 84, 85. So if they put the offensive line, I'm going to say 87.
Nope.
89.
Yes, I didn't say which 2 years. So
yeah.
It was actually 1989 with Will Walford right at left tackle.
Big Willie.
Jim Richer at left guard, Kent Hull centre, Joe Devlin at right guard, and Howard Ballard at right tackle.
Howard's way. Oh, how could I forget?
Those
were the days.
33 years since we last had an offensive line starting every single game.
It does not happen very often, does it?
Torrance and Brown playing every single snap. Well, no, yeah. I think Torrance played every single snap. I think Brown may have missed a couple, I'm not sure. But those two playing the majority of the snaps just shows how well Chrome has done and how well where the Bills are up front. And obviously, we go into Super Wild Card weekend and there is a weather warning of rain or heavy wind, snow, and all that, and the Steelers coming to town.
Yeah,
there's a muddy game. There's a bit of a tsunami of injuries as well, which is a bit of a problem. We're talking about the offensive line and having not made a change all season. Deion Dorkin didn't practice; he was limited on Wednesday. Did not practice at all today. So that is a concern, but it's more there's a lot of hitters on our did not practice list at the moment.
I take everything on the Wednesday as a pinch of salt because they just did a walkthrough on there. They didn't actually practice. But
Thursday was significantly worse than Wednesday.
Yeah. But
the list of did not practice on Thursday was Gabe Davis, Deion Dawkins, Tyrell Dodson, Razzle Douglas, Deontay Harty, Dawson Knox, and Taylor Rapp. Mm. And apparently the smart money is it's looking like Davis, Dodson, Douglas, and Rapp will all miss out.
Yeah. The other thing about that is also that's from the media portion, whether they practiced outside or actually doing off-field drills in the non-media portion is another question, but it's something different to watch on. But as we mentioned with the Dolphins game, the way that Bailey Inspector came up and actually played well, you've got play, you've got other you've got Jackson who's come in and played games. I mean,
I think Douglas for me would be the biggest miss out of all of those.
Oh, guys. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 100%.
We could do. I mean, I think if we had this injury report and we were going to Kansas City, I don't think we could go to Kansas City, but if we had this injury report and we were going back to Miami, I would be worried. Mm-hmm. The fact that we are home to Pittsburgh and Mason Rudolph and those kind of guys. I mean, if the defense was going to have a chance to cope, it was going to be against the Steelers. The Steelers are the team that everybody wanted. They're the worst 10-win team. I think statistically the worst 10-win team potentially ever.
Remember one year Miami got to like 10-6 and they had about 30 put on them in a wild card round. And I remember them being a very poor 10-win team. But they're down there, aren't they?
But you've got to give credit, though, to Mike Tomlin. I mean, the 17 seasons he's been or whatever, however many seasons it has been as a Steeler, he's never had a losing season.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Hasn't won a play. I mean, and that is incredible. And no taking that away. That's a bloody impressive thing. But he hasn't won a playoff game in, I think, 7 years.
Yeah.
And people talk about there's getting into the playoffs and there's winning a playoff game. And, you know.
But that roster has absolutely no business being in the playoffs.
I genuinely
thought that team was like a 4 or 5 win team when he looked at the roster, and the fact that he's got them there with a minus 20 like points differential, but they've punched their ticket, and I think the weather will be a bit of an equalizing factor. And if there's anything that I've seen from the Bills this year is that we're perfectly capable of playing down to opposition standards, and we allow crap teams to stick around with us for too long. You look at the Patriots game only a couple of weeks ago; they couldn't beat an egg, and yet they were one offensive score away from taking the lead against us, and us not even having this conversation, our season's already over. So I'm not taking anything for granted. I've seen this movie too many times with the Bills this season, where we think we're going to win games comfortably against teams that we should beat easily, and we don't. So yeah. With the injuries that we've got, with the weather playing a factor, I think this is far from a foregone conclusion.
Well, let's hope there's a bit of snow, but wish it was before Christmas, because then you could bring out the whole Rudolph jokes.
I think it's the wind. The wind is always the worst thing. I mean, if it's just cold and if there's a bit of snow, I think you can live with that. As long as it's a you know, flurry of snow, then I think you're okay. It's when you get the wind, I think that really does cause issues. I think the players should be all right, because, I mean, Pittsburgh are probably used to cold weather as well.
Yeah.
I think if it's just cold, I shouldn't see too much of a drop-off. It's when you get that, when you get the winds coming in. But like I say, we're recording this on a Thursday. We've still got three more days. But yeah, this is not a game you ever want to you ever want to take lightly. And I don't think they will either. Mm-hmm. I think they will take it as seriously.
The one good news is that TJ Watt's out. Yeah. They've officially ruled him out on there.
That's true.
Obviously,
Steelers are one and ten without TJ Watt.
Yeah, entirely different side. Their entire pass rush. Yeah. And everything they do defensively runs through TJ Watt. So him not being available changes everything that defense can do.
Yeah.
And I say they're going to be led by potentially Mason Rudolph, who in the three and a bit games he's had, he didn't play much in the his relief. He's 3-0. He's 3-0. Beat Cincinnati 34-11, 17 of 27, 290 yards, 2 touchdowns. Beat Seattle 30-23, 18 for 24, 274 yards, no touchdowns. And beat Baltimore. Well, obviously, when Baltimore rested all the starters, pretty much, but went 18 for 20, 152 yards, 1 touchdown. That game pretty much won by the rush game.
And a lot of that was on one play, wasn't it? There was one big play to Deontay Johnson, and that was the game. And you never felt like that. That's a game that if the Ravens didn't have the number one seed wrapped up, they would have easily beaten the Steelers. But they weren't even trying. And as soon as that touchdown went in, you felt like there was no way that the Steelers were going to come back, and that was the Ravens were going to come back, and that was more than enough for them when they were already up by that score. And you know, they've got lucky, but they're there.
Yeah. And I think, and I was drafted the same year that came out, wasn't it? Was it Alan? Yeah. Drafted the same year. Rudolph, was he after or before?
I thought he was after. I don't think he was in the Josh Allen draft, but I might be wrong.
He was in the Josh Allen draft. Josh Allen was one in seventh in the first round. Mason Rudolph was third in the 76th round.
The 76th round of the draft. That's pretty impressive. That was a long old draft that year.
Sorry, 76th overall. Third round. But, I mean, I was actually higher.
Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen.
Yeah. So he's lasted longer than them. And obviously... Hey,
what's Josh Rosen doing these days? Is he still on a roster somewhere?
I have no idea. But I mean, outside who on this offense are we really scared of?
I mean, the only thing we need to be scared of is the only team that can, I think, lose this game is the Bills. Really, yeah. If we do our jobs, if we keep the offense rolling, if we run the ball, which we may have to more than we normally would, as long as we can stay on the field, I just don't think they have the weapons to hurt us. We just have to stay out of our own way.
Yeah. You just can't see how they, obviously we mentioned they squeaked through on there, but even on defense? Okay. Is there anything that really scares you? I think the only deciding factor on this game will be the wind. I mean, the only one I can really see that's causing issues is Najee Harris.
Yeah,
they're
going to go to a run game.
What's defined them hugely recently is the fact that they've managed to get Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren running the ball really well. And it's taken them a long time to figure out what they've been doing, but since they've made the change at offensive coordinator, that's really the thing that they have. They've given themselves the identity as a team that's going to play smash mouth football, run the ball. George Pickens still looks dangerous. Deontay Johnson's got flashes here and there, but it's really been, you know, ball out, run it as hard as you can, and then rely on TJ Watt and Minka Fitzpatrick to do the damage at the other end. Fitzpatrick's still great. TJ Watt obviously not there anymore, but I mean, they're not an awful side. They've still got names. They've still got some hitters in there all over the place. So we can't go into this game assuming that it's a victory easy.
Oh yeah, and I think it's shown by the results. I mean, what against Jaguars, we thought we'd go in there and make it easy. We didn't. In other games, we went out there, said, "Yeah, it's going to be easy." We made them. We struggled and lost.
Chargers, the Chargers game for crying out loud. The Patriots game. My word.
But I just think it shows that you need to be on form altogether. And I mean, just looking at obviously their roster, I mean, obviously offensively, I say Pickens, Harris and Warren are probably the ones to really watch out for on there. But then you've got defense, you've got what, Minka Fitzpatrick, who else? Obviously Nick Herbig, but he was injured. He's a doubt. Cam Haywood, still a force at 34. There's not really anyone, and I say this every week, there's not really anyone on that defense that really stands out.
I think Minka
Joey
Fitzpatrick,
Porter Jr. probably is the only other one, the rookie.
Yeah, I think their secondary, Patrick Peterson's still around. Minka Fitzpatrick is brilliant at safety. Levi Wallace, don't forget, ex-Buffalo, he'll always be looking to have a big game. I think Larry Ogunjobi is good as a defensive end and can certainly do some damage. Cameron Haywood, aging, but still can do damage. The loss of TJ Watt is massive, but he's not. They are, but by all means, not the only ones that they've got.
Spencer Anderson, that name ring a bell. Or was that a different? No, it's a different one. I thought it was the other one. That's a different Anderson. That's Alex Anderson. No, that's my bad. But what are we looking out for on this, for this team, for the Bills? What are we looking for? What are the keys to this? Depending, obviously, we're put into effect that you've got the weather. So if it's
stop the run is massive.
Yeah.
Stop Najee Harris. Stop them doing what they want to do. That's been their identity. If we can find a way to stop that, because teams still, first half against the Dolphins, Achan was kind of having his way with us. For some bizarre reason, they totally went away from it in the second half, which I'm not entirely sure what that was about. But we still can be run on. Austin Ekeler had his best game in ages against us, running the ball. We need to find a way to stop the run. And cut out as much as possible, cut out the stupid shit on offense.
Yeah.
I think if we do that, we'll be fine. But
I think as I say, there's nothing, even though we could potentially be without Douglas, as I say, I've got faith in Benford to take Pickens. Deontay Johnson is a little bit of a threat on there going out wide, but we've seen that this defensive back group has enough in there that they've limited. I think the quarterback in the last 8 games that thrown the most yards, I think, was Patrick Mahomes, I think, with about 250 odd yards or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've not let any quarterback really throw on us as the adjustments that we've made each game. So if they run on us, we've actually made that adjustment to stop it, to force them to pass, and vice versa. Yeah. And that's what I think is needed, because if the snow and the wind comes down, it's going to turn it into that run game. If we can take away, as you say, if we stop the run game and take it away, we're going to be a bit more of an advantage on defensive, because we know Josh can throw in pretty much any weather with that cannon for an arm. There may be a few limitations depending on how strong the wind is, but he's a way that can get everything sorted and get it put in different areas. So if we can take that away, then great. And on offense, it's just try and obviously pound the rock, pound the ball. Use James Cook a lot more because he was underused.
Yeah.
Was he underused against the
He's averaging about 3 yards a carry, I think, something like that. I think he had about 12 to 14 carries, something like that. So it wasn't loads.
It wasn't his best game by a long way. No.
Different sort of game though. You knew that Miami, you were probably going to pass on them. So, but this is what he's going to need to. And it depends on the wind. I mean, if Josh has got the arm, then mix a bit of the pass in. But yeah, D fundamentals.
But you look at the last game and all that, and you see the creativity that Joe Brady's got. He's actually done. He's got more guys involved.
Yeah.
Especially against the Dolphins. He's learned to adapt. He's learned to adapt to a situation. So if we're running well, we'll stick with it. If the pass game is better, we'll stick to the passing game, work that out. And I think that's going to be the main key. That's first thing. I mean, let's go with your players to watch, or the ones to watch. Offense, defense, score prediction. Who's going first?
Go on, Robin. Yeah. After you.
All right, fine. My players to watch offensively, I'm going to say Osiris Torrance. I think he's been great. I think he's had a fantastic rookie year. But I think the last couple of games, I hate the phrase rookie wall. I prefer rookie ceiling. I think I'm worried that he might get a bit picked on as we go into the playoffs. So I hope he's going to be okay. So he's just my guy to watch. Just hope, just hold his end up. And defense, I'm going to go for my guy, Dane Jackson. He's going to have to come in. He's probably going to have to do some kind of shift. If they swap Benford over, like you say, if you go Benford over Pickens, just don't give away too many stupid penalties. Do your job, Dane. And, welcome Russell back, hopefully, for the divisional round.
Yeah. Score?
I'm going to say, I think it'll be close at the half. I think it'll be like a 10-all or a 14-10 at the half. But I think the Bills will probably pull away 27-10, Bills.
Okay.
But that'll flatter us. It'll be like an even game in the third quarter, and then we'll get a crucial score type thing. 27-10.
Mark?
So I'm going to go with a couple that are a bit left field. For offense, I'm saying that it's playoff Lenny.
Cool.
We're going to relying on the run game, and Leonard Fournette is going to turn up. And especially with Ty Johnson potentially out injured, he's going to, and it's going to be another one of those stories like, oh, it's playoff Lenny again. And this is going to be his game where he has a huge impact. And on the defensive side, I'm going to say Damar Hamlin. Reason I'm going to say that, with Taylor Rapp potentially out injured, we have been playing a lot of those three safety sets. So I wonder if this is the game where Damar Hamlin steps up, cements his comeback player of the year award, deserved award, and in the game that's going to be probably his most significant contribution of the season with one of those guys out. It's a game for him to show everyone that he's ready to potentially be a starter next year.
Okay, score prediction.
Score prediction. I think similar to Robin. I think it's going to be closer than we'd like it to be. So I'm going to say 24-17 Buffalo.
That's an outlier.
I think
the conditions lean more towards a low scoring, closer game than it would be if we were playing in October.
I am going defensive for my first one. Now, I was thinking similar lines to you. Obviously, you were going to go Hamlin. I was going to go Cam Lewis. But I've decided to change it. And I've gone for Bale and Spectre.
Nice. Yeah. Dodson may not make it.
If Dodson can't make it, Spectre came out and had the blinder of a game, was actually very disruptive in there. And I think for
And interestingly, Dorian Williams didn't get a look in at all, did he, as that outside linebacker, which was kind of why he was drafted. So that was not a great vote of confidence for him, but brilliant for Bale and Spectre.
Yeah. And I can't remember who I went with last week for my offensive player, which is kind of annoying. But I'm going left field with this. I'm going left field, and I'm not even going to say a player.
The stadium?
No, Joe Brady.
What are you going to say?
I'm saying Joe Brady.
Okay.
I'm not sure that's in the rules, but we're in the playoffs, so let's not worry about
it. Yeah, different. It's like overtime. Yeah.
I'm going to go for the Buffalo Bills. Thanks.
No, I was thinking Brady just because obviously his way he's got to adapt to the weather conditions and obviously call a game, and that's the reason why I was thinking Brady. But if we have to put it down to a player. And so I did say there's more player-based than anything. Then I'm going to go for Stefon Diggs.
Okay.
Because he came back 7 yards, seven receptions for 87 yards last week. He's still that game manager, that leader in that group. And I think that this is going to be a decent game for him. He's going to be going up if Fitzpatrick's not there. They may move Peterson back to corner. You're going to have Wallace probably on Diggs.
You'd take that matchup all day long, wouldn't you?
Yeah. And I think this could be Diggs's breakout game. Let's call it that.
Yeah. Well, finally put him on the map.
Yes.
They can't ignore him anymore.
Yeah.
And score-wise, I'm actually going to go a lot closer than that. I'm taking into effect the weather. I mean, I'm going to have a quick look at the forecast now. Buffalo weather. Because if it's snowing, I can't really see anything other than a run game. But looking at it, snow, rain, snow today, cloudy Friday, snow Saturday, windy Sunday. So I think it's gonna come down to how much snow falls on that pitch. But I'm actually gonna go for a low scoring game. I was gonna go for 7-0. Hey? 3-0. I was gonna go 6-0. I can go 17-10.
Okay.
I can't. If the weather is bad or not good, I can't see us throwing the ball. I think it's going to be one on the ground. I think we may just have enough to actually take it. I think it's going to be that's how it's going to be decided. So 17-10 Bills on that one.
Forecast at the moment for 1 o'clock at Buffalo is due to be -5 snowing, 70% chance of rain, and 46-mile-an-hour gusts of wind. So it's everything, really.
That's everything. That could be like that Patriots game in 21. Then, couldn't
yeah,
absolute horror show of a game. Just awful.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Crikey!
No, so I think the weather's going to be a factor. But either way, the Bills find a way.
It's worse than Kansas City, apparently, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
Kansas City's like -15 or so. So like something really daft. For the game,
I wonder how many complaints you're going to get from from McDaniel and the Dolphins fans now. With that.
Yeah, get that T-shirt back on him. I wish it was colour.
Kansas City -21. Light snow and gentle breeze, but only 8 mile an hour wind, so it'll be fine.
Oh, I'm getting cold just thinking about that. Yeah,
I'd love that. I'll be shirtless in that.
Yeah, as long as I do a few jogging, a few laps around. Yeah, that'll be all right.
You just can't get warm in -21, can you? It's just not possible.
We're hoping for a Dolphins win, so we can then take on the Browns. Houston, isn't it?
It'll be the winner of Houston and Browns if the Dolphins were to win.
Otherwise,
the Chiefs win and we would play the Chiefs. It's hard to see.
I can't see anything other than the Chiefs.
In our head, they look a broken team. They've lost three of the last five.
Yeah.
It would take a hell of an effort just to be in it. I can't. Also, as well, if the Browns get over Houston, I could see the Browns causing the Ravens problems in the divisional round. If Houston win, I can't see them being the Ravens. I could see the Browns maybe giving the Ravens a game.
Imagine a Buffalo Cleveland AFC Championship game with Joe Flacco. Just like everyone predicted, right? It would be the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen.
You'll find some guy who put $100 on it and he's now a millionaire. Yeah. And they'll find somebody who put it on at the start of the season.
So we're rooting for what? Chiefs and Browns, so Browns could knock off the Ravens, and we have three straight home playoffs.
Precisely. Yeah.
Go in, even though I saw this recently on a TikTok that, if you notice the colours when they do the Super Bowl, you know, when they do the Super Bowl thing at the beginning of the season?
Oh, the logo of the Super Bowl. It's always the two teams that end up there.
Match the colours to the teams that were in the Super Bowl that year. This year, there's apparently supposed to be...
It's purple.
It looks like it's going to be Baltimore-San Francisco final.
Well, the two number one seeds, aren't they?
So. That's where we ruin the party, but... We've got a 6 p.m. start, so nice and early this time. Obviously, it's going to be on Sky Sports. It's going to be on DAZN and all that. And yeah, whatever everyone's doing, let's have fun. And we'll be coming back next week when we talk about the divisional game. So
fingers crossed.
Don't fuck it up now.
I feel like you've learned this week, Matt, because previous games where you've been like predicting, oh, this is going to be 48-4, this is going to be easy, and I feel like you've bitten that bullet now, and you realise that actually the Bills don't make it that easy.
No. I mean, I at the moment I can't scream and shout and jump around because my knee's fucked, but It is what it is, but it's just a case of let's hope that next week we are talking about victory, and obviously keep following us on every single social, on all three of ours socials, and for Mark, Robin, my name's Matt. You've been listening to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills. Yeah, not us.
You don't know anything about Mark. You don't know anything about work.
That's who we are.
Bills on three. 1, 2, 3.